Good afternoon. We call finance to order here at 3 o'clock. We're punctual. You know, at that time of year when things get bogged down. So, members present, Representative Newman, Representative Costello, Representative Edgman, Representative Dugan, Representative Durrell, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Wilson, Representative Garrett, Representative Faircloth, Co-Chair Stolz, and Co-Chair Thomas. We have the operating budget, HB 284 and 5 up today. What we're going to do is we have amendment number one and amendment number two. What we're going to do is introduce amendment number one, take a 5 or 10 minute break so members can read through the packet and see which bill amendments they want to talk about and pull them out, and then we'll come back. And then you can compare them to amendment number two, because some of the amendments to number two are now in one. Let's think so, David and Les, so. Okay. Chair, move amendment number one here.
I move amendment number one.
And I'll object, and we'll take a 10-minute break and go through the amendments, and then we'll come back and we'll pull the ones that people want to talk about. So that we're in recess for 10 minutes. afternoon again. We come back in the order here. We have motion to adopt amendment number one. Is there any amendments in here that you wish to pull out and discuss?
Mr. Chair, just to clarify one of them.
Clarify, Representative?
Thank you.
That's number on the bottom.
Amendment 6A, DEED. And this is the restoration of the $2 million of early learning funding. Okay. My understanding, after speaking to members, is that the intention is that this is to restore $2 million in annual funding, but there's a discussion here that says every 2 years, which read the wrong way could mean $1 million a year, but it's intended as $2 million. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
Representative Wilson will answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What it is that this is a grant program. It is $2 million every year, but it is competitive grant. When you receive that grant is for 2 years. And then at the end of 2 years, you go through the process again, but it is $2 million a year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Wilson, and I appreciate you adding back the pre-K money.
Any other discussions?
Mr. Chair.
Guttenberg.
Withdraw amendment number four.
So well, wait till we get over to that one.
Okay.
All
right.
I just wanted an amendment number two, UCCED. It's a grant application for sustainable arts that goes to Sea Alaska Heritage. I want to notify the members that I am a director of the Sea Alaska Board, I think, is a subsidiary of the arts program. And this was handled between two commissioners and Representative Costello, but I still need to declare that I am a director of that board. Any other removals, discussions? I'll withdraw my motion to object.
Mr. Chair, I think I have one conflict. Is there a physical therapy amendment in here?
Yes.
I would just to add it on.
Yeah. I know this isn't a conflict, but I would just note for the record, I declare conflict. My wife is a physical therapist.
I won't say anything about your back then.
Oh, I wish she'd get backs.
I'd see her watch gamble together.
She does wounds, which actually comes in handy really often in this job, but not backs.
Mr. Chairman, if we're going to start declaring physical, we're going to be here a long time.
Okay, the objection to amendment moving number one has been removed. Amendment number one has been adopted. We will go through the packet, starting with amendment number two, then it's listed down to, I believe, number 19. Number seven, Dugan, amendment number two.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, move.
Thank you. I move amendment number two.
Object.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this amendment would do is take the Alaska Land Mobile Radio Communication System. I always have a hard time with that. And allow the Department of Defense to continue to fund it as they had in the past. The sequence of events on this was that the Department of Defense built the system and guaranteed that they were going to continue to pay it for it. Last year, maybe the year before, they decided that they weren't going to pay for it anymore, at least not all of it, and began to reel it in to where now the maintenance costs are about 80% paid for by the state. About in February of last year, in a hearing in this committee, the Commissioner of Administration said that they recognized that they had a problem and they were sort of looking around to see what they would, how to fix it, and they would come back and tell us in a year what they would do about the fact that Almar was going to continue to cost more money than anybody had anticipated. I have yet to see that report or have heard anything at all from the department about what they actually want to do with this. What they have introduced, as far as I know, is about $2.5 million in unrestricted general fund and about $150,000 $150,000 in general fund, an additional $150,000 in general fund for this. And in addition, I believe there may be already a capital budget request for this of about $8.6 million. My amendment would allow the Defense Department to take up its duties as it sees fit and not have them commit us essentially to a whole bunch of money for this system, which I've heard complaints about, and I don't know if other members have too, about the question of whether it works at all, and if so, how well it works. And I guess that's probably more than I actually know about this, Mr. Chairman, so I'll just leave this at that and ask members to support the amendment. Thank you.
The Representative Newman on the amendment.
Mr. Chair, we looked at this pretty hard in the House Finance Subcommittee for the Department of Administration. And the problem lies in the Department of Public Safety testified, which are Alaska State Troopers, Forestry, just about every division, DOT, that they have to have this program, and we don't have a substitute yet. We did direct them to go back and do a cost-sharing analysis. That's going to break out who pays for what. You know, currently the Department of Defense through the Army and the Air Force do use a large portion of this, the different units that are out there. And I also have concerns, as we discussed, and how are we going to exit out on this? And we hope to get a report back on that. But right now, if we were to eliminate this, as we see right now, a lot of volunteer fire departments, public safety, municipalities with their public safety, again, police departments, fire departments, would not have the ability to communicate with each other. So if there was an emergency of large proportions, that could be a pretty bad situation. So as much as I would, along with others, would like to try and see some cuts, in Alamar, we did our best to try and slim it back and ask the department. Actually, we gave some pretty strong instruction to the department to come back with a new plan on an exit strategy and a cost-sharing program and to talk to all 107 participants who use this program in a full report back to the legislature to see what we can do on it. So with that, I would oppose this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Like a true politician, I agree with both statements. In my 8 years here, I've been on admin from the start, I believe, you know, Representative Dugan has too, and this is one of those, I don't know if you drive over a frog or something, it should squash it, but it keeps leaping off out of the way, so I don't know how to, we keep trying to get our arms on this, but, you know, I think Representative Dugan, we're trying, and I think we're going to try once again, and I will not support the amendment also, but I think Representative Newman is trying to pull it back in the same way. I tried for 4 years, so I told him good luck.
We'll get it.
Go get it. Do you want to vote on the amendment?
I would appreciate it. If nothing else, I think that the commissioner needs to know that at least I am dead serious about this.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Guttenberg and Gira.
Thank you. And I will agree with you, Mr. Chair, what you said, because that's exactly where I stand. As far as the previous two speakers see you, I was here when all of our public safety, volunteer fire departments, and everybody else were pulled screaming into this program. And now they don't have a choice. They bought very expensive equipment, and now the program's been pulled out of it, pulled out from underneath us, and we're stuck having to have it. I mean, I'm not sure what a couple of good cell phones would do to replace this. but I don't know what a fireman in Fairbanks or Kotzebue needs to have the capabilities to talk to somebody, and or every single one of them, to talk to somebody in Ketchikan or Sitka or down here. We've been left standing in with our hands on a big responsibility, and I really sincerely think this needs to be looked at really hard and a lot of pushback on it as well.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hate to agree with everybody, but I agree with the Chair, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Newman, and Representative Dugan. The state has been backed into this, and that's the problem. And that's the problem that Representative Newman had in subcommittee in trying to deal with this. But while we were supposed to be trying to determine whether or not to spend $2.5 million a year on this, and then to spend all the money on the capital, so we're going to be way over $10, $20 million as this continues. The state was telling local first responders to go ahead and buy this Almar equipment. So now there are a lot of local responders that have this Almar equipment. They've spent the money on it. I wish the state hadn't told them to go ahead and buy it. And so if we yank Almar, we've now made them waste a lot of money. If we go ahead with Almar, we require a bunch of new agencies to go buy this stuff. It seems like one avenue that hasn't been explored is to allow Almar for those off the phone grid and the communications grid. That would be a small group of first responders. But Representative Newman's was left between a rock and a hard place given what happened, which is the state sort of moved ahead with the project when it was supposed to be analyzing it. So I share Representative Dugan's concerns about the cost, and I share Representative Newman's problem, which is he doesn't know how to get out from under this rock. So,
Okay, call for the question.
Representative Guerra.
No.
Representative Guttenberg.
No.
Representative Jewell.
No.
Representative Newman.
No.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Costello.
No.
Representative Dugan.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Faircook.
No.
Representative Thomas.
No.
And Representative Stokes.
No.
Amendment fails. Amendment number 3, Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 3.
Check.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment essentially would, I don't want to say reinstate, because there's already existing law that requires a 50-50 match, but it would basically provide a dollar-to-dollar match for state money it receives for tourism marketing. And essentially what it does technically is it cuts $8 million out of the budget. That's the actual part of the financial part of the amendment. And it leaves $8 million in there under the assumption that some or all of that will be matched, dollar for dollar. It's hard to talk about the history of that. I'm going to try and talk about it without saying anything mean about anybody, Mr. Chairman. But it's not the easiest thing in the world. But essentially what happened was, beginning in FY7, there was a 50-50 match in which the state there was a $5 million match, and the state put in $5 million. In the following year, there was a $4.2 million match, and the state put in $4.2 million. But from then on, it's just gone south. The numbers are that the industry put in $2.7 million, and that's an repeating number in this. And the state put in $9 million, $9 million, and $9 million. Looking at it, I've got one more piece of paper that talks a little bit about if I can find it. Here it is. That in picking up at 11 and 12, the state ended up putting in $16 million in 11 it was $16 million. In 12 it was $12 million. And the 13 request is for $16 million with no increase in the match. It seems to me that what has really happened is because the amount of money that the industry is putting in is roughly equal to, what do they call it, the vacation planner or whatever it is that it produces, that essentially now we're paying the entire cost of the tourism marketing effort for the state of Alaska. So it's gone from a half to 100%. That is actually not the direction I personally think that these things should go. You know, we have, and particularly the tourism, the cruise industry, has abandoned its responsibility for promoting tourism and giving it to us. And that's what we've got. And so I'd urge the members to vote for amendment number 3. Thank you.
In regards to the amendment.
Certainly. Thank you. Through the chair, the budget subcommittee has certainly looked at this issue. There's a long history of the state supporting economic development activities that provide a return on our investment. It's what the Department of Economic Development does, and they have a new division with that as its main focus. So just to justify that history, I mean, it's a longstanding commitment that we have to the tourism industry in Alaska. It's the third largest industry. It employs 36,200 people. The return that we get on the investment is significant. For every dollar the state spends on tourism marketing, we get $15 back. It is true that this year we did not recognize the Qualified Trade Association, as has been done in the past. We chose to fund it as the governor requested with an appropriation, and then, of course, the Alaska Travel Industry Association will be continuing their pay-to-play program, which includes the vacation planner and other trade association opportunities that promote Alaska. So I will not be supporting this amendment.
Just a point here that the Qualified Trade Association, this ATA, doesn't get any of this money. We fixed it in a supplemental now, and also the CS we adopted the other day, saying that vacation planner will be done in-house also and go out to bid. If they qualified bidders, I understand, then they'll be the recipient of that. But the 50-50 portion, Representative Dugan, is gone now. The state has brought the marketing plan back in-house. Before it was a 70-30, and then that bill lapsed, and we went to 50-50, and they couldn't get anywhere with that, so we funded $12 million, I believe, last year, and then we went to $16 this year. Again, trying to help a struggling industry that is trying to, and they tried some different ideas, cruise ship tax credits and what is it, more vehicle rental tax, everything that was not put in by them. So I, like Representative Costello, will be voting no, because I think right now we're trying to keep it in-house, and we'll see what happens with maybe future language or bills that people may run. So,
I just, I guess it's really not as relevant to me that the cruise ship industry isn't supporting this, because this isn't really about supporting the cruise ship industry or the large entities. This is, for me, this is supporting our interior, land-based, independent entities who certainly benefit from people being dumped in, but there's a lot of dynamics of the cruise ship industry that doesn't work to them to if they're not affiliated. And those are the people that I know and I represent in my small neighborhood. There's a lot of direct employment. Certainly those are the folks I run into. It's they're they may or may not work directly for a cruise ship industry, but they're in tourism, and but they certainly benefit that folks are getting dropped out here, but they have to work pretty hard to try to scratch those dollars out, and it's a competitive dollar, and those are a lot of our traditional family, mom-and-pop business, everything. So, and I know in the Matsu Valley, we're facing so many challenges in tourism, just our fish and game policies and just how the drainage is managed is a big enough challenge, let alone not having a marketing support. It's when you don't know whether you're going to have catch and release, no kings, no red. I mean, you're trying to run a bed and breakfast in the Matsu Valley, then you're not having any state support, and we kind of take for granted that when other industries have been on the ropes, it's not like our mom and pop industries are. This was the fishing industry, as we did my first term. We jumped in without a lot of questions and helped them out. And anyway, that's. I'm going to be opposing it. I understand the philosophy behind it, and I don't take it as an attack on the industry. It's very well grounded in reason, and the way it's being presented, it's just not what I agree with, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Representative Gary, you have a comment?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Representative Dugan. I think this is a smart way to save $8 million. In almost every other state, there is a tourism tax that tourism companies pay, and they get a credit for funding a marketing campaign. So the state gets some money, they get some tax revenue. They get less tax revenue if companies want to participate in the marketing campaign, but the state still ends up with some tax revenue. In Alaska, and I handed out an email that we asked for from the Department of Revenue, outside of the cruise industry, we don't get any revenue from any state revenue from the non-cruise ship tourism industry. As a matter of fact, over the last 3 years, they've paid a negative amount of taxes. And so we're giving them $16 million. The state gets nothing back. I think we're unique in the country in doing that. And the whole point of Representative Dugan, I think, 50-50 match is to say, well, we're not going to tax you, I guess, but we want a contribution from you, so we're not doing all of your work for you. I want a healthy tourism industry, too, but it seems fair to have a 50-50 match, and the tourism industry has fallen very, very short in terms of going to their own members and asking them to pony up to help the state pay for the campaign. It's a campaign for their industry. It certainly benefits the people of the state of Alaska, but it's something the tourism industry should contribute to. And when they say they contribute the $2.1 million in kind, that's not a contribution. That's money that they spend to promote their own businesses inside pamphlets and other media. I don't consider that a contribution. I consider that just advertising. So I hope something can be done on this, because I think this is a very big expenditure of money without any contribution from the tourism industry.
Thank you, Representative Gary. My closing comment will be that I'm in an industry that pays 50% of our marketing, and we've tried, everybody knows that I've tried to get them to come up and pay more, but including finding a way to assess their membership, and it's very hard to do. And again, as you both pointed out, when you look at the resource book for revenue, they show zero. They're actually negative. And the reason I am supporting the tourism with the $60 million, because the revenue don't show up in our books, but it shows up in our local sales tax revenues. I just want to point out also that the 8 or $9 million that was put in before didn't show the general fund capital money that was put in both by the Senate side and the House side for several years. So I think actually that amount was like $13 or $14 million that was going into it. I remember sitting where Representative Newman was, and a man left to me put $1 million in the capital for tourism marketing for the interior. And that's another reason why I support the tourism industry. I don't think that Southeast needs tourism marketing because we have the cruise ships. Our dependency is on cruise ships and not there. So with that, you want to vote, Representative Dugan?
Yes, I do, Mr. Okay. Chairman, but I just want to say what you were just talking about. There was, in fact, a $5 million, I think it's maybe $7 million appropriation in the capital budget at that time, which would have been, I can't even find it now, Mr. Chairman, but several years ago.
5 years ago, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, yes, I'd like to have a vote, please.
Call for the question.
Representative Fairclough?
Yeah.
Representative Guerra?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
No.
Representative Jewell?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Costello?
No.
Representative Dugan?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Schultz?
No.
Representative Thomas?
No. You're out of that track, is it? Representative Guttenberg, amendment number four.
Amendment number four very much reflects an amendment that was in the amendment number one. But the intent is that corrections look and really get a good hard look at what they're doing with their blended staffing model, and I wish they would come back to the legislature for approval on that, but I withdraw amendment number four.
Thank you. Amendment number five, Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number five is in already through the first packet, though I just remembered that we were supposed to fix some language.
So if we can find that in packet number one.
Yeah, you can just, it's, yeah. Unintended oversight.
Number five, Tim?
As opposed to an intended oversight?
I thought I was
going to number.
Mr. Chair, I would move to amend amendment number five, DEED, in the amendment number one packet.
Which, yeah. Who was that? One was supposed to have amended before we adopted amendment number one, so there's no objection. We were deleting early learning coordination, including this is parents as teachers.
Would we rescind our action and adopting it and redo it, or these are budget amendments. We should probably do them cleanly. There's.
Maybe we should just wait and see what
we want as we go
along. I wouldn't mind taking care of it now.
Well, we still got to go back. Okay. What we have to do then is go back and rescind our motion to adopt amendment number one.
Part of amendment.
Part of number one. Hearing no objection, we're back to amendment number one's number five in your booklet. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to delete the words online, the words early learning coordination including.
No objection. Amendment moves. Is there any opposition to amending or accepting amendment number one as amended again?
I object for a question.
Question.
To the chair, early learning coordination, though, is where this money will be in the budget, though, because that is where parents as teachers is currently. So I'm trying to find out why we're taking that out of the intent. Because under you have early learning coordination, which is the actual designation, and then Best Beginnings, Parents as Teachers, Rural CAF, and Head Start are all underneath that part. So I'm thinking that this addition here is correct. Already amendment in our amendment number one.
I think we want to be specific to that it's going to parents as teachers programs. So.
Okay. I just think that's what it exactly says, because it will go under early learning coordination, but then into the parents as teacher to match up with the $300,000 that's already currently there. If there's not a separate allocation for parents as teachers within the education budget. So whichever way, I just wanted to make sure that.
We just want to at least throw on the record that that's where we want the money to go. Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, when we had this before us several years ago, parents and teachers were losing federal funding. And Best Beginnings were where this committee had placed that money. And then over in the Senate, it was amended out to start sharing that early learning money with parents as teachers because the money was going away. So we're now trying to prior to grant applications and awards, choose who is receiving the money. So if that's our intent, that's certainly our policy to make. But there's a little bit more history here between competing organizations that are providing early learning in different communities. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, just procedurally, we've rescinded the action on, since we adopted amendment number one as a total, we've rescinded amendment number one. That's not going to be available to us to do that avenue again. We can't do a second rescinding action. So that's why I was trying to slow things down, but I don't represent here. I want to do it now. Just wanted procedurally that we don't have the same avenues to go back and do a rescinding action on, given we adopted it as one amendment. I just want to just bring that up procedurally.
So did you convince the people?
Oh, I don't have that.
No, I mean, Representative Garrett.
Mr. Chair, the Representative Wilson is correct that the money should go to the early learning coordination section, and that's said in the allocation part. That's where it goes. The intention of the amendment, I believe, through the sponsor, is that the money go to parents as teachers. If that clause that we just deleted was left in, the department could take it out of parents as teachers and put it into other early learning coordination programs, which I think was not the sponsor's intention.
It's not, but I think after that, this is a discussion they'll know.
Okay. And it is intent language.
Yeah.
The only people that listen to that is corrections again.
Brutal. Hey, you want to just withdraw your objection to that?
Sure, with that understanding, sure. That's
okay.
Fine.
So back to amendment number one as amended. That amendment isn't. Are we confused now? So there's no amendment to number one. Number one still stands.
Well, we have to re-adopt it because we said it already.
I said, is there any objection to adopting amendment number one?
I move amendment number one.
Okay. Any objection? None? Okay. Again.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just a procedural point. Is there going to be a need to go back and do anything else in this amendment? Well, we've adopted it. We haven't moved on yet. We don't need to.
Just hit me over the head next time trying to get a point across.
Couldn't reach it.
Representative Guttenberg, amendment number six.
Or Guerra.
Oh, Guerra, okay, Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move amendment number six. Mr. Chair, when we started the pilot pre-K program, it was designated as $2 million a year, and then after it was proven to be successful, it would go up by $2 million a year afterwards. That's not binding on the legislature. That was just the intention of the prior administration and the Commissioner of Education. They've proven that it's worked. While the majority of students before this pre-K program started were in the bottom 50% in terms of cognitive ability, they're now a vast majority are in the top 50%. It's one of those programs that's worked very well. So amendment number six is aimed at honoring the original intention of the pilot pre-K program, which was after the third year. We start expanding it if it's proven to work and increasing academic achievement. And we all know the statistics, which is children who learn early, commit less crime, end up in jail less, earn more money, graduate high school in greater numbers, graduate college in greater numbers. The purpose of amendment number six is to expand the pilot pre-K program.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that we just did amendment 6A back to the original amendment one is that we took that $2 million and put it as our own allocation. And one of the reasons that I requested to do that is because although we have been doing some pre- and post-testing, we have not been doing it with each and every child. So some of those statistics really aren't what they might be because some of the tests were only for half of the amount of children. So within that allocation, we have put in language stating that we want all children who are going to have the state money go there that will be pre- and post-tested so that we can get true numbers. We're also encouraging, as a grant program, they'll be able to go back into the private market, which is something that they weren't able to do the first time that this was grant. And so although some pre-K programs work, they really have not extended this to all the sources to be able to give us those kinds of numbers this year, and that's why we have put it in its own allocation so it will be able to be looked at more closely next year. So, you know, although, and a lot of districts are already doing this, and we're trying not to interfere with more money from the state and encourage them to do what they're doing privately. So I do oppose this amendment.
Any more discussion? Call for the vote.
On this one, yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Amendment number six.
Representative Hedgeman.
No.
Representative Fairco.
No.
Representative Guerra.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
Representative Jewell.
No.
Representative Newman.
No.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Costello.
No.
Representative Dugan.
No.
Representative Thomas.
No.
No.
Amendment number six fails. For the record, we have the real Representative Williams from Ketchikan. I don't want to say that because the budget report. Yeah. No. I had to comment that Bill Thomas from Ketchikan. This is the real Bill Williams.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I should note for the record, too, that I offered the former finance chairman my chair.
He might take it. Okay. Anyway, welcome. Don't rain up here. Representative Guerra, amendment number seven.
Okay, I'll offer it and then withdraw it after just a brief statement, Mr. Chair. So I move it. Amendment number seven.
Okay.
Head Start funding, we have a patchwork of early education in the state. We don't reach all the way across the state. We're one of the few states that doesn't. We have some parents as teachers, some Head Start with a 1,200 child waiting list, and that's been growing. We have a pilot pre-K program in a few communities. Some school districts do pre-K, but the vast minority of youth eligible for pre-K, it's not available to. And we know it works. And instead of repeating the stuff I talked about the last amendment, I would just say on Head Start, in the past 7 or 8 years, we've had two increments, but largely they've fallen far behind inflation. In 2002, state Head Start funding was a little over $9 million. Today it's a little over $7 million. So that accounts for the number of Head Start communities that have lost Head Start centers. And it accounts for the fact that we've got a 1,200-person waiting list. In my mind, I don't care what kind of comprehensive pre-K we have in the state as long as it works. Head Start works. The pilot pre-K program is working. Parents as teachers, for those families that don't want to have pre-K in the classroom, works. So I don't mind having a patchwork, but I just would like to have it comprehensive and offered to all families that could benefit from it. But I think this will be discussed as the session goes along, and I don't think there's any need to offer the amendment, so I'll withdraw it.
I just want to make a couple of comments. When Best Beginnings was here, I asked them how they were supported by private industry and locals, and I think we could say a lot of the same things that Abby Hensley replied about how industry and individuals support Head Start, my community. The local benefit association provides rent at 17 cents a square foot. Thousands of volunteer hours, which is a good leverage. Village corporations and regional corporations are big in-kind and real dollar supporters. So it's one that communities support, and I'm glad that you were able to find some money from the beneficence of another department to help out this department. And that's one of those that communities do step up in real dollars and real significant volunteer hours, which would cost a lot of money to replace the budget. So, I'm sorry to talk about so much stuff about something that.
Well, I know I got you all caged up here. Representative
Kindership with Wes.
Amendment number eight.
Mr. Chair, this is already in, so I would withdraw amendment number eight.
Number eight, so it's gone. Amendment number nine. 7-0.
Guttenberg. Oh, 9?
Yeah, so did you.
I skipped a 12. Number 9, this one is also already in, so I would withdraw amendment number 9.
The voucher bill on each
one? It does have the word voucher in it, just trying to find common ground.
Representative Dugan, amendment number 10.
I move amendment number 10.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number 10 would delete just over $6 million from the, I guess it's military affairs now. We've been kicking that baby around so long, I've had a hard time figuring that out. Budget, which is the budget for the Alaska Aerospace Corporation. The fact of the matter is this baby's been a loser since its inception. From 1993 until 2006, there has been one net income in, maybe put it the other way. Since 1993 to 2006, there has been a net operating loss every year except for 2001. Since 2006, when that operating loss was just a little bit north of $3 million, the financials of this place have been getting worse instead of better. Since in 2011, the net operating loss was about $4.7 million. In 2010, it was almost $6 million. I don't know enough about the operation to know why that is happening, but I do know that we're not making any progress in terms of being able to have an aerospace program. I find it hard to believe that we have one here in Alaska anyway, but that we making no progress in making it, having it pay for itself. The trend is in the wrong direction. The actual amounts are in the wrong direction. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, as we all know, sometimes, you know, I know it's hard to say in public, but sometimes we make a mistake. You know, the state makes a mistake, and this one seems to me to be a mistake. And so I can't support continuing this, particularly since, you know, the plan is, as I understand the plan is to reconfigure the operation to do a different sort of send a different sort of payload up in the air, which we don't have any experience with, and frankly, that the I wouldn't call it a promise because it's not that straight, but the representation from the company about that to which the Aerospace Corporation points as the one that's going to bail them out is not at all solid. So, you know, as I said before, this just doesn't look like a good expenditure of state money, so I urge the members to support the amendment.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a state-of-the-art aerospace program that last year, for the first time, state monies were put into it for $4 million. They came to us this year and asked us for $8 million, and I had heartburn over when I started looking at it. What I was told by the folks at Aerospace is that if they were not able to come up with a contract or having kind of launches basically by July, they were hoping to have a contract, that they would begin to shut it down and would no longer exist. Since that part, we have heard from Lockheed Martin, and there is a contract underway that I believe, since the U.S. has decided to kind of get out of space travel, there's going to be opportunities that didn't exist before, and Alaska can become part of something I don't think they ever had an opportunity to. So, yes, the federal government built this. They gave us something. Now we have to decide what we do with it. We had a new team put in last year. It took them a while to kind of find out
who are the movers and shakers on the federal government side. As we know, the government has yet to really make budgets there, so it's been very hard to figure that out. But I'm excited. They have a contract that they didn't have when we started this process. I think we're going to have a medium lift, which is something very few in the U.S. can offer. And I believe them. I think if this doesn't come through and these enhancements don't come through, they will shut it down. But not to give it a full year for them to pursue these would be wrong with the money that has been invested. And I think we can see an exciting time to be able to offer something in Alaska that very few in the lower 48 does. And to me, this is a great investment at this time, and we will see what happens in the future.
Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak in opposition to the proposed amendment and then refer the committee to page 16, that the table that Representative Dugan was referring to on net operating loss. And you see it has an indication of that loss with a highlight of 2 next to it, which includes depreciation, which is skewing the actual overall look at the performance. Since 2001, when depreciation actually started kicking in a larger way from the investment, they had actually had a gross operating income period, not a loss, but income. But depreciation is skewing it down as they are writing off that original investment over time. I'm not sure what form of depreciation the aerospace company has looked at, but they are managing their assets right now very well. And they did need state assistance, but we have to look at both what they're doing on the operating side and the depreciation to get a true picture. So I would just note that depreciation is skewing it to a loss, but that's not hard cash dollars as far as they're operating in the capacity and how it's being managed currently. Thank you.
Representative Guerra.
Representative Fairclough is right. They're part of that is depreciation, but basically on an annual basis, the legislature's been putting in $3.5 million a year to keep this thing afloat. It's not a rocket launch facility that's launching a rocket once a week. It's launching roughly one rocket a year. And if the argument is that suddenly they're going to make a turnaround this year and they need $10 million or so in capital and operating money, if the argument is they're going to become so successful, they should sell it. They can find a customer to buy it in the private sector if they have such a success plan. But this is the same story I've heard since I've been on the Finance Committee, that they're about to turn the corner. And every year it costs us another $3.5 million for one launch, sometimes 2 launches.
Call for the question.
Question, please. Thank you.
Roll.
Representative Dugan.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Fairclough.
No.
Representative Guerra.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg. No. Representative Jewell. No. Representative Newman. No. Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Costello.
No.
Representative Stoltz.
No.
And
Representative
Thomas. No. Representative Guttenberg, Amendment number 11.
Amendment number 11 is withdrawn.
Representative Guttenberg, Amendment number 12.
Amendment number 12, if I could speak French for a second before I withdraw it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attending the last Board of Regents meeting at the University in Fairbanks, it was impressive the number of people that came to testify on this program, the number of students, the number of faculty and veterinarians who pleaded for this program, that there are an amazing lack of veterinarians in both urban and rural Alaska. And there was some very impressive students with clear, articulate reasoning. And I'm delighted to see it in a good portion of it in the amendment number 1, and I withdraw amendment number 12.
Representative
Guttenberg,
Amendment number 13.
Amendment number 13 is withdrawn for the same reason.
Representative Guttenberg. Representative Guerra, Amendment number 14.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move and will withdraw Amendment number 14 after I thank the committee for a moment. So I move amendment number 14.
Okay.
Thank you. While the committee knows that I have a difference of opinion on some early education matters than some other members, I do appreciate amendment number 14 already being in packet number 1. This will actually go a long way to helping early education because the federal government is requiring higher certification and the university isn't able to teach it. And so with this amendment, they will be able to teach it and we won't start losing pre-K instructors. So I appreciate the committee's addition of this amendment, and I withdraw amendment number 14.
Number 14 has been withdrawn. Amendment number 15, Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number 15, I move number 15 to speak with it before I withdraw. Okay. Thank you. I don't know if it's just me in my office or if everybody's got the same amount of email and letters that I have about the successes of this program. And Dr. Terry, Chapin, who came around door-to-door to see many of us. You don't see that as often, the articulate nature and the success of this program for so many people. And I'm glad to see it in Amendment Number 1, so I withdraw Amendment Number 15.
Number 15 is good, withdrawn. Representative Guttenberg, number 16.
Thank you. Number 16 is withdrawn.
Number 16 has been withdrawn. Representative Guttenberg, amendment number 17.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a technical amendment to number 17. This is, in many ways, the monolithic amendment to everything that we didn't do and the governor left out of the budget. So those things that are in here... that are in amendment number 1 should be withdrawn. And there's I've got a few of them. I have different formats is my problem right here. The process technology is withdrawn. The Alaska Technical Assistance Center is out of here, and I think that's it. There are some other university amendments that aren't in here.
Mr. Chairman, the Kenai Peninsula College is already in on page 1 of 10 on amendment number 17. The University of Fairbanks, I believe the 400,000 university receipts supporting engineering is already in. The Sekuliak is already in. The early childhood, is that in there already? The early childhood program is already in on the second page. I think that those are all the ones that are already in. But that was just a quick look.
Well, let's set this on the side and have somebody review it, make sure we're accurate, and come back.
Well, I'll withdraw it and I'll speak to it in closing. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
You withdraw it?
I withdraw it in 17.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number 17 has been withdrawn. Representative Dugan, amendment number 18.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 18.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am actually going to withdraw this. I have not had a chance to speak to the finance chairman who has a slightly larger version of that bill in his committee, to see whether or not he's, going to be amenable to the idea of hearing the bill in committee. I'm not trying to put in too much pressure on it, but if not, I have the intention of introducing this much slimmer version of it on the floor. And with that, I withdraw amendment number 18.
Number 18 has been withdrawn. Representative Guerra, amendment number 19.
Thank you. I move amendment number 19.
Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is also going to be withdrawn. First of all, there's a typo. We were intending to place $1.5 billion into the Constitutional Budget Reserve.
We wanted to adopt it.
It's a typo.
So we just wanted to remind people that $1.5 million used to be a lot of money. So, But I think we should speak to folks before we introduce this amendment and see if we can get somewhere. But we certainly would like to have a substantial deposit into the state savings accounts by the end of the year. And I will withdraw amendment number 19.
Amendment 19 is withdrawn. Like I said, after taking up the amendments, we're going to get a final CS and pass both the operating and mental health budgets out tomorrow. What I do like is to get a motion, Mr. Co-Chair. Allow.
Hey, should I move the bill first and then this motion? Or?
Well, we can't move the bill first.
Oh, that's right. You just said that, and I wasn't
listening. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Legislative Finance Division and Legislative Legal Services be directed to make any appropriate conforming or technical changes to House Bill 284 and then the subsequent 285, the Mental Health Trust Bill, when producing the final bills. And we'll take care of the final motion.
No objection, motion carried. We will be bringing up 284 with the CS for readoption again tomorrow at 8:30. First thing in the morning, gives we have finance scheduled, and we'll bring it back in here and move it out of the committee here. That's the wishes. So, is there any discussions, talks? We can talk tomorrow, I guess.
Oh.
That's it.
Mr. Chairman, the reason that there wasn't too much contention on the university's budget, I just really appreciate the entire House Finance Committee sitting as a committee of the whole on that budget, looking at the ratio and what we've asked the university to do on our behalf, and that is to try to bring up and move the university forward in a direction that we've asked them to do as far as university receipts matching at least a certain percentage of the dollars that they asked the state for. And the university did step up, and I believe that we saw with the governor's amendments that the governor heard us talking about their move towards bringing a budget to us that was much more inclined than what we've asked for, at least in the past years. So I wanted to do a public thank you to all the committee members who served for many hours listening to different components of the university brought forward, to recognize that President Gamble is in the back trying to shepherd through and see what the House is doing with the university, and just to thank the university for looking hard at its budget. Michelle is here also, as well as Chris. I appreciate their hard work in answering the questions on the university. That budget is heading towards $1 billion. That's a big investment in post-secondary education, and I just appreciate their look in trying to do the best that we can with the dollars that we are investing in our students and in that education process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. It's our intention to also move 285 tomorrow. We'll give Lynch Finance, and we'll say our thank yous tomorrow after they get it done. It might be too early to say it, but thanks now. So 284, 285 tomorrow morning at 8:30. With that, we are adjourned.